Cavalcade of Kings. Harold, son of Godwin. With jingling bit and flashing swords, the cavalcade of kings rides on. Edward the Confessor is passing, and Harold, son of Godwin, is approaching. Harold came to power unfettered by the obstacles which beset his father. He possessed his father's courage, ability, and genius for administration without his father's excesses, and his military talents were displayed with great boldness and resource. It is London, January the 5th, 1066, and Edward the Confessor is dying. His wife, Editha, the daughter of Earl Godwin, and her brother Harold are standing by the stricken king's bedside. In the background are the Archbishop of Canterbury and the king's counselor. Edward speaks.
I'm glad that the Almighty spared me to finish the building of the Westminster. And my dying wish is that I be buried in it. You will see to it, wife?
I promise, Edward.
How easily the affairs of death are arranged. Ah, would that the affairs of state could be arranged as simply. But they can't. They can't. Editha.
What is it, my husband?
A great sadness is upon me that I have no heir to succeed me upon the throne of England.
It is your brother's grandson, Edgar.
No, no. She is but a child, and England cannot be ruled by a child. For rapidly she is approaching a great crisis in her history.
Harold, what does Edward mean? What is this crisis which threatens us?
I think, sister, that the king refers to the possibility of an invasion of England from two sources, from Harold of Norway and from William of Normandy.
Yea, that is true, Harold. I have been foolishly weak in the matter of the Normans, and William, who is my cousin, arrogantly proclaims that he is my legitimate successor on the English throne.
William was ever the loud-voiced bull, sire. But I swear that if ever he sets a warlike foot upon English soil, he will have me to reckon with.
The blood of Godwin flows full and red in the veins of you, Harold, his son. And this good blood, fighting blood of a kind that England needs today. Summon my counselors and the Archbishop.
My Lord Bishop and my Lord, His Majesty would have speech with you.
You summoned us, my son?
Yea, my Lord Bishop. Gather ye round closely, so all might hear. For I would set my house in order before I start on my long journey.
Edward. Edward.
Sweetest of women, to shed compassionate tears for one who has treated you so basely in the past.
The past is forgotten, Edward.
But is it forgiven?
All is forgiven, Edward.
Hast forgotten how I seized your jewels and had you imprisoned in a convent? Hast forgotten the many other cruelties I have worked upon thee?
I have forgotten and forgiven all, my husband, for I truly love you.
Gracious and generous lady. But what say you, Harold? Are you so generous and as gracious as your sweet sister?
Have I not always served you loyally, sire?
No man could have served England and her king more loyally than thou, Harold.
Then, sire, let my past actions answer your question.
I am answered to my great content, and you have your revenge.
Revenge, sire?
Yea, revenge, Harold. For in the forgetting and forgiving of a wrong, one attains a mild revenge.
There was no thought of revenge in my heart, sire.
Noble Harold, I never even suspected there was. But time is short, and I must proceed. My lords, I am dying. I have no heir. England is at the mercy of two foreign powers, and she needs a strong man's hand to guide her destiny.
Is there such a strong, fearless nobleman left in all England, my son? If there is, bring him before us, for we have need of him.
My Lord Bishop, that man stands before you now, in the person of Harold, son of Godwin, and Earl of Wessex.
But I am not of royal blood, sire.
It's fighting blood that England needs at this juncture, Harold.
But what of Edmund of Mercia and Morcar of Northumbria? Think you that they will accept me as their king when they have always regarded themselves as my equals, and justly so?
My son, when I set the crown of England upon your head, No man will be your equal.
Does this mean, my Lord Bishop, that His Majesty's choice finds favor in your eyes also?
It does, my son, as it finds favor in the eyes of His Majesty's counselors. Have I your yea or nay, my lord?
Yea, my lord.
Tis well. And now, Edward, my son, you can be at peace, knowing full well that your last wishes will be respected.
I am content, my lord bishop, and I die happy in the knowledge that my country and my beloved wife will be safe in the hands of Harold.
Harold was crowned King of England on the very day of Edward the Confessor's funeral. William of Normandy, upon hearing the news, immediately sent his ambassador to Harold's court, where we now find him.
How much longer have we to wait before the cursed usurper consents to give us an audience?
Oh, Harold seeks to impress us with his kingly importance.
Bah! The man's a fool if he thinks he can insult the ambassadors of William of Normandy in this churlish fashion.
His Majesty King Harold of England.
The clown approaches.
Yeah, and when he hears the tidings we bring, methinks his pompous bombast will soon disappear.
Yes, yes, here he comes.
Greetings, Your Excellencies.
Greetings, Your Majesty.
You bring tidings of your royal master, William of Normandy?
Yes, sir.
Well, what does he want of me?
Your resignation of the English crown.
Oh! William always was modest in his demands. Surely he would not be satisfied with just the mere crown of England.
Sire, I beg you to treat the matter with all seriousness, for it is not a time for jesting. My royal master considers his claim to be just and legitimate.
Very interesting. But I fail to perceive the justice or the legitimacy of his claim.
Sire has forgotten that you took the oath of allegiance to William of Normandy and that you accepted many and costly presents when this public act was over. And further accepted as a signal favor the release of your nephew, whom our master held as hostage?
The oath to William was torn from me under duress. I was shipwrecked near Ponthieu, where Guy of Ponthieu held me for ransom.
And William of Normandy rescued you and brought you to his court, where he entertained you in royal fashion.
Yeah, William was ever an opportunist, and he seized on the opportunity of my misfortune to benefit himself. I was in his power, and he forced me to take the oath on the missal.
Forced you, sir?
Yeah, I was led into the room, and although William chattered amiably at my side, the room was lined with his men, fully armed. The book was placed on a tub instead of the table. The tub had a cover over it, and after I had taken the oath, the cover was removed, and I saw that it was filled with bones, which William alleged were those of long-dead saints. The bones made the oath more binding, I suppose.
Oui, and if you break it, sire, you will shock the whole of Europe and its morals.
An oath taken under such circumstances cannot be regarded as sacred, for it is a travesty, a mockery, and I refuse to be held to it.
That is your final word, sire?
It is. Go, you both, and return to your master, William of Normandy, and tell him that I refuse to resign the crown of England to the base-born son of a tanner's wench.
Later, Harold's brother Tostig joined forces with Harald Hardrada, the King of Norway, and invaded England in the north. King Harald encountered them and was victorious. We now find him at York, feasting with his loyal soldiers after the battle.
Out of the way! I must see the king.
Why, it is my brother Gurth. What brings you here in such sorry plight? Wine and food for my brother.
Harold, I have ridden far and fast, through mire and river. I bring grave tidings.
Well, speak on.
William of Normandy and his forces have landed at Pevensey.
What?
And are encamped near Hastings.
Oh, what do you mean? Quiet, men. There is no cause to be alarmed. We shall encounter these Norman dogs and teach them a lesson they will never forget.
I beg you not to meet them in battle. Monsieur of Northumbria will not help you.
But my loyal men in the south will.
A handful against a host. No, Harold. Do not fight, but lay waste the land between London and Pevensey and starve William out.
What? Not one foot of English soil shall be desolated by my hand, Gurth. We will fight. Men, prepare to march at once.
God's rule! Holy rule!
Holy rule!
Holy rule!
God's rule!
Harold! Harold! The Normans are retreating!
Come on, after them! Drive them into the sea!
Hey, Godfrey! Hold the road!
Come on, we're gaining on them!
Harold! Harold!
William of Normandy, you shall pay dearly for my brother's life.
Fire! The Normans are counterattacking. Their retreat was but a ruse to break up our shield wall. See, they're falling upon us. Fire!
But I will not retreat. Stand firm, men. Stand firm for England. Holy Road!
Fire! Men! Men! Our king is dead. The curse of Norman Arrow has pierced his eye. Avenge him! Avenge our king!